every great person, there's like 10 horrible people. And it's always, how many subscribers do you have? Before they even ask your name.
Yes. When I was just starting, I asked people, like, hey, when I'm doing my shows, like, what's your following like? I'm like, I just started. And they're like, talk to me after 1,000. I'm like,
that's what it is. And that's so icky. Like, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Woo! We are here. We are thriving. We are on the River Rapids. I've got my flotation device on because I am not a strong swimmer, but joining me in case we bail is Cosmo from the Cosmo Network.
Hello, everybody. Hi, dear. How you doing?
I'm really excited for our guest today, but I'm also really nervous because she decided to not tell me what her topic is. So I'm like dying to know.
I had to save it.
Well, joining us today in the canoe is one of my good friends who is like a comedian, an actress, has been in so many things, so many popular YouTube channels, is my good friend, Bree Esring.
Hello. Hi. Hey.
Did I say your last name right?
Of course. Yeah. It's like,
okay, good.
It's spelled phonetically. Like, it's spelled how you say it. Like, it's S-Rig. It's kind of hard to fuck up, but people do, and you didn't. So, that's great.
I've seen there's a clip of you circulating where you said, like, Bree ass rag.
Yeah.
So, that was great. You gotta poke fun at when people mess up.
Yeah, no, this kid in middle school used to call me Brie ass rag, and I thought that was so funny. And I, you know, had that name on Facebook for a while, and then they changed Facebook. This was like way back in the day when Facebook was still cool.
It was thriving.
And then you had to like submit your ID and then go by your actual name, and it was devastating to lose the ass. But
Well, yeah, you got it on you, so you're good.
I'll take the L and just be S-Rig. It's fine. It's fine.
I just thought that was so funny. I love when people like just take a joke and run with it instead of getting all like, they said my name wrong. And I don't know if you ever are like that. I feel like you're so chill.
Not at all. I don't give a shit. My real name is Brianna.
Oh.
I know. People are like, what? But, and then they'll say Brianna, and I'm like, it could be. I'm not, that's not me anyway. So I'm Bree. So say whatever. It's fine.
I get people joking about Cosmo. They're like, oh, you're a drink. I'm like, yep, I'm a drink, a magazine, hotel.
And a Fairly Odd Parent.
And a Fairly Odd Parent. Ooh, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yes, where's Wanda? I'm like, damn, I don't know.
You're like, she's right here. I don't know. That was Mickey Mouse.
One of these days, I gotta find someone named Wanda and just like go on a couple of like dinner dates. I'm like, hi, I'm Cosmo. This is Wanda.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
That'd be a good cosplay, actually.
Totally. Oh, that'd be a fun one for you. Yeah. I could be Timmy Turner. He talks just like this. Cosmo Wanda. Something like that. Oh no. But speaking of a little bit of ridiculousness, I am dying to know, what is your Delulu? Like, what runs rent-free in your brain?
Oh my god. I'm delusional about so many things, but I think the number one thing I am delusional about is being a content creator.
Ooh, okay.
I think that making dumb internet videos is actually high art.
Oh.
I know. And this is very controversial. I'm not talking about, you know, like the recycled jokes, the brain rot TikToks, the lip syncs, like the copy paste stuff. I'm talking about, I mean, what we do for a living is really fucking hard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To get people engaged in short form content is a talent.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can do it. I've been making content for 15 years. So I feel like I kind of have to be delusional about it at this point. But I think to be an artist is essentially you're trying to evoke emotions. You're trying to tell the truth about the human condition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And evoking emotions like fear, anger, sadness, these are all, you know, sort of base level emotions. And I'm not saying it's easy to get people to feel things. But as content creators, we have the ability to make people feel this amalgamation of like all the emotions, which is cringe. Right?
Yeah.
So like cringe, I would say, is like maybe the deepest emotion of the human psyche. It's like the deep root. It's shame, essentially.
Mm.
And it's like deep rooted inside. It's like that white hot sting of embarrassment.
Yeah.
It's fear. It's anger. It's sadness. It's all the emotions at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what makes it art, because we are so good at evoking that emotion. Mm-hmm. It's like, shame is like, I don't really feel shame the same way a lot of other people feel it. I use it as sort of like a mirror to tell the truth. It's why shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm and It's Always Sunny ran for so long. Mm-hmm. It's because people really love to sit in that discomfort. And they sort of require you to be fucking honest for once. And a lot of people hate cringe because they just like can't bear the honesty, right?
It's the car wreck that you can't not look at when you drive by. It's like you're like, oh, that's happening over there and I can't miss it. Like, you can't not look.
Right. And like, I think regardless of whatever generation you belong to, whether you're millennial, Gen Z, Gen X, whatever, like posting publicly online is inherently cringe, no matter what you are posting, because you are essentially asking for acknowledgement and validation, which we've always been told is wrong. But why is it wrong?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Right.
I think because it got labeled as like attention seeking when we all want attention.
But that's the human condition.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And that's what makes it art. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
I think the problem with that was MySpace back in the days. We were able to make our page customizable. It was like, hey, look at my page. It's awesome. Give me some validation about this. I got music. I have top 8, blah, 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 blah. So...
yeah, I mean, that's real art. Yeah. We really heavily curate it, and we still do. Yeah. We curate our content. We get to make the world see us the way we want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And some people are really good at it, and some people are really bad at it. And I think being called cringe really gets me off these days. Because it makes me feel something. And maybe it's because I don't like just saying blanketly like I am mentally ill, but I have been I'm diagnosed depressed, ADHD, anxious, you know, things. So it's like to really, when someone calls me cringe in the comments, I'm like, oh yes, need that. So that's my dopamine hit, and it means I have made you feel something, and you've made me feel something back. Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful, and that's talent, honestly. Like, it's hard to make people laugh, it's hard to make people cry. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know, maybe it's not hard to make people cry now that I think about it, because I feel like, you know, like the Ellen Show could have done that, you know, just one sob story. Yeah. One story time on TikTok could make you weep for days. Yeah. And it could be a total lie. I mean, I don't know.
I think it can be hard. To piggyback off what you were saying is that in order to make someone cry, you have to be completely vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Because the minute you maybe share a story or something that could have got you on Ellen in the past, you have to bear it all and be so like naked with your emotions in order for people to, one, believe the story, and two, to feel empathy for you.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to get off social media, is 100%. Empathy.
Yes. 100%. I think you nailed it with that, because that's what I mean. Like, it's such a talent, because we are creating short form content. So to be able to keep people engaged for such a little, like, you really need 7 seconds. Like, you can't take more. Like, I come from the YouTube world, and we used to do long form content. It'd be like vlogs were like between 12 to like 45 minutes long. So it's like moving to this short form, you know, quick attention span content. If you can keep people engaged for longer than 7 seconds, you're a god. Like, you have something special, you know?
Because isn't that how like auditioning is now too, with like self-tapes around the world, that literally casting directors are now admitting to only watching 3 to 10 seconds of each tape. If you don't captivate them, they move on.
100%.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Exhausting. Like, oh,
that's a whole other thing. I mean,
we're breaking our backs for 3 seconds.
some of them just look at the thumbnails, honestly. But that's how it is in general, that people just scroll. They don't even stop these days, which I think is like a blessing and a curse. Like, I think as content creators, we need the engagement, because our biggest enemy is the algorithm.
Yeah.
Like, my number one comment that I get from people these days is like, oh my God, Brie, I used to watch you on YouTube. I haven't seen your shit in like 10 years. Where have you been? And I'm like, I've been here. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not, either you outgrew me, which I totally get it. I'm a new person every 2 years. I find new creators to engage with as well. But like, the algorithm is suppressing us. Mm-hmm. I mean, mostly because of what we do for a living.
Or,
but,
or you didn't like, subscribe, and hit the notification button.
Again, that's the algorithm. That is not the creator or the audience's fault. That is the system that is set. It's rigged against us.
Right. Because I know TikTok, it's come out that if you follow someone, mm-hmm. it purposely won't show you their content. Like, they want you to go seek them out by typing in their name. So it's better to almost just like their content and engage with it rather than comment, because then you won't see it in the For You page if you follow.
That's so, you're
which
right.
Which is wild.
Because there's the following tab and then the For You tab. Yeah. It's different. You're right.
I hate it.
I hate it too. There's a lot I hate about all social media these days. It's like, I don't know. And then with the ban happening with TikTok, we're like, where are we going to go? And then everyone was like, let's go back to YouTube. And I was like, please no. Mm-hmm. I did that for so long. Going back on YouTube to me is like going back to a toxic ex.
Oh no.
I'm like, it feels abusive. Like,
oh no.
Not actually.
Yeah.
Damn, exactly. Like, that platform has chewed me up and spit me out. I mean, it, a lot of people still love it.
Yeah. I want to ask, why do you feel that way so much? Because like, I was scrolling through and watching so much of your content, and I was like jumping from playlist to playlist, and I watched everything you made all the way through.
Holy shit.
Like, maybe not everything you made, but I went and I watched like an entire podcast episode you did with Carlotta Champagne.
Yeah.
Then I jumped to like one of your short films that you did, and I watched the entire thing. And then I hopped to your, like, your interview with Aubrey Plaza on like a red carpet. I know. Like, you are so good at it. So I'm curious, like, do you just feel like burnt out from YouTube, or?
It was the algorithm. Mm. Again, it was like, I put thousands of hours into working on that platform. I started YouTube when I was 19. I am 34. During the pandemic, I kind of gave up on it because I was burnt out, but also the algorithm was suppressing everything, and everyone was moving to, what was it called? What was TikTok called before it was
Musical.ly?
Musical.ly.
Yeah.
But it was like, YouTube was our like consistent thing. That was like the platform, because we'd had like Vine before that, and like all these other platforms that come and go.
Right. But their like come and go span was very short. It was like 5 years, peak, fell apart. Like, it was very quick to see things come up and come down. Whereas like TikTok has kind of come up and has remained since the pandemic.
Yeah.
But that could be just because of the pandemic.
It could be.
Yeah. I joined TikTok because of the pandemic.
It's so fun. I mean, the content is just so digestible and easy. And YouTube, it, again, like I said, it's the algorithms, because the homepage on YouTube is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. It's not stuff I would necessarily want to see. At this point, it's just things I'm subscribed to and things I might be interested in, like based on stuff I've liked in the past, mostly like drag queen content.
Yeah.
And Trisha Paytas videos, obviously.
Same.
Yeah. Or like Pilates workouts, like Matt Pilates at home workout. But it's just like, I go on YouTube to like and comment on my friends' posts. That's really the only reason I go on there to support them, because I know what it's like to be a YouTuber, and it's really fucking hard. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're trying to start now. I can't imagine.
Yeah. You're starting right now, and I've started like four other accounts, just because like so many people now, and I'm curious if you think this too, they're saying to like, if you're multifaceted, like you are in the Cosmo is, where you don't just like do one niche, they're saying to make separate YouTube accounts for everything. So like all your music, all your art, all of your interviews, like separate them. So I basically started over, because I started a skit channel, and it is taking so long to get it even to like populate. Like when I tell people like, oh, go look at the skit channel, it's called Disastro. It doesn't even populate when people type it in. So, and I've heard it takes 3 months for it to like finally start showing up in the algorithm. And you know, because you have a brand new show. I mean, you've been around for 2 years now, but like,
yeah, it's
still, you're just starting.
At first I thought there's no way the Cosmos show is just going to be, it's not, I'm not going to reach 1,000. It was just the show. So that's when I had the idea of just doing a network. So So it's that one channel with a bunch of stuff on it.
I think that might be the best way to go.
Yeah.
Like a but real, that like is like network. Old school YouTube
yeah.
rules was like start a second channel for gaming and start a third channel for beauty. It was that was like the old school way of thinking. I don't know how the algorithm works these days.
It's difficult. I've noticed the things that I look up on my channel.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give me those references all the time.
Hmm.
So people like not that just I'm subscribed to, but if I'm looking up anything nerd related, anything reaction relatable, even though I'm not. I don't even watch them or subscribe to them, they will pop up. Mm-hmm. So it's like keywords, I guess. Reaction is one of them because there's a lot of reaction channels to a lot of things.
I know.
And
but that's like a good thing because if you're like a streamer on Twitch or something, it's a good thing to put on YouTube. It's like reaction videos, right? Yeah. Those do really well.
Those do really well. I subscribe to a lot of them. So
Yeah. I have heard that there's a technique called priming the algorithm, and it works for like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, where if you make a new channel that's like, I don't know, makeup base, let's go there. And what you want to do is go and subscribe to a bunch of other makeup accounts and like start watching their content, because then YouTube will categorize your account as a makeup account. So then it will start sharing, like if somebody watches their video, like you did, like say like Nikki Tutorials, you go and subscribe to her, you watch a video, some of the viewers will get your channel as like a recommended because you watch her videos, because they think that like the audience and the creators will have something in common.
Interesting.
And I've seen it work with TikTok because I have so many accounts right now. I'm definitely seeing it pay off, but it's so much time you have to invest in switching to a different account, defining the niche, and then going and finding other people that are doing what you're doing. So it's I don't know if it's like proven true, but I personally have seen it work, but it's a time commitment.
That is so interesting. The only thing I know for sure about YouTube that in 2005, 6, 9, when I was doing it, and to this day, you should never do YouTube to get famous or make money. It should always be for the love of the game or for self-expression. And that's it. Because otherwise, it's going to be hell.
Yeah, totally.
It's so much work. It's like more work than I'd ever done on anything in my life was making YouTube content.
Oh, yeah. Because they tell you like you have to be consistent, post every week. And then all of a sudden, like your whole life becomes like prepping for YouTube videos, going and making YouTube videos. And the worst part about it, in my opinion now, is I talked about this on our last Grind Our Gears episode, that people then associate us with being too busy for their projects. And I have to keep telling them like, no, no, like I'm ahead on my schedule because I've created the schedule and this rotation. I have all the time to be in your movie, to be in your play, to audition for your thing. But like, don't exclude me because I look busy.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling that a lot right now.
Interesting. Yeah. People really don't know how it works with content creation because we're behind the scenes and they're not. They only see that we make content every day, but we're not actually making it every day. We're stockpiling.
Yeah. We're not sitting there like that. This.
Stockpiling is the key.
It
take 1 week to shoot like 15 episodes. That's what I did with TikTok. Just like did all the cosplay stuff, did like 30 of them, and just released one a day.
Yep.
And then come to another day, 30 more. And kept on doing that constantly because it gives me a break instead of being in my room, messing up my room, looking for the damn costume and then setting up the set. It's a lot of, well, it was a lot of work, but just doing that in one day.
Way easier. Way easier. Yeah. I'll stockpile OF content on like a Monday and then TikTok content on a Tuesday. And then the rest of the week I'm, you know, answering DMs. And it's like, okay, I could be filling this time in other ways, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people don't realize that like we do it like that. So that way we do have time for auditions and for bigger opportunities. And a lot of times if there's nothing going on, I'll write my own short film or I'll write my own music to keep something coming out and to keep myself as an artist like satisfied, because I like doing YouTube. I think it's really fun, but I find myself posting, and maybe you can relate to this, when it's good enough for YouTube, where in my professional like actress, you know, lyricist, writer, I would never just put out stuff that's just good enough.
So that's the thing about YouTube, is quality over quantity, whereas TikTok is the complete opposite.
Don't
you find that? I mean, I find like people are like no makeup, like greasy hair on TikTok telling a story time, and I'm just like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like it's not easy, but it's like, oh, I just turned on a camera and started talking and then threw it out. That's the Trisha Paytas vibe. That's how she got so successful, was she would post every day. She would post her mental breakdowns every day, but and it was like 30 minutes of her crying, but she posted every fucking day for like 15 years. Wow. And now she's huge because of it. I mean, that's just so, she's so motivated, and it is really inspirational, despite what you think about her as a person. Like, it is just really cool to watch. But I find that YouTube is a quality over quantity. Like, so, I would spend days editing one video for YouTube and be like, it's not good enough. I need to re-record this, and I need to redo it. Or I would just like make videos and never post them.
Dang.
Do you ever do that?
No. I always find some way to Frankenstein it together and to like make it work. But I also like took a nosedive on my channel and completely pivoted directions. So I feel like that kind of worked against me.
You think?
But oh, yeah. Because my channel was labeled, like, I've talked about this a million times. It was labeled like Tryon Hall thirst trap account. And people love that shit. They do. It's so easy to grow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But then people don't take you seriously. Like, I've never been invited to VidCon. I've never been invited to like publicly speak about YouTube.
And oh, you're not missing out on VidCon.
Really?
I'm so sorry. I was required to go. When I was working at SourceFed, I had to go, and I would be like, can I not? And they were like, the fans expect you to do meet and greets. And I'm like, I do want to meet the fan. Like, I do want that experience, but I don't want to be around the other YouTubers.
Oh, there's tea. Okay.
There's a lot of tea.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was so competitive. There were always people that were humongous, that were awesome, that I loved, like Jenna Marbles, the nicest person ever.
Love her.
She was fucking cool. So funny. Justine, the best.
Yes.
Yep. Like Jessica Chobot from Nerdist.
Yeah.
Loved her. Yeah. Loved her. She's a great person in real life.
Awesome. But for every great person, there's like 10 horrible people. Yeah. And it's always, how many subscribers do you have? Before they even ask your name.
Yes. When I was just starting, I asked people, like, hey, when I'm be on my shows, like, what's your following like? I'm like, I just started. They're like, talk to me after 1,000. I'm like,
that's what it is. And that's so icky.
Like, and I won't talk to them. I'm like, that's a fucked up situation to be in, right?
Yeah.
It's just, it's embarrassing. It's uncomfortable. But that's why I like the cons, like Comic-Con, WonderCon, whatnot, because
those are fun.
There's not that many YouTubers out there.
Yeah.
There's more TikTokers at cons than there
is
YouTubers.
But people who want to like collaborate and create, which is the reason why we're doing this, right? Like, we want to make cool shit with cool people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, VidCon and those types of conventions are about meeting the fans and not about trying to collaborate, because it will be a disaster. Yeah. These are not the people you want to associate with. Like, I'm sorry, but I've just been burned so many times by a lot of these people. I'm just very bitter and jaded about it.
Nothing wrong with this.
That's okay. You've had that experience, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't blame you at all for feeling that way.
But I also think you pivoting, because I pivoted so many times on YouTube, and everyone's like, just stick to one thing. And I'm like, but that's not true to who I am as a person.
It's not true to anyone as people.
So I think you do what you keep doing what you're doing. And you know, the right people will find you.
I'm hustling. I'm grinding.
You are a hustler.
I'm really trying. Like, I've been keeping my head down and not really watching the view count, just because
it doesn't matter.
It's degrading when I go from like millions of views on like Skims Tryon Haul to how to have fun in Vegas without drinking. Mm-hmm. And it goes from like a million views on the Skims video to barely 1,000 views on vlogs where you're like educating or talking. And it's going to be a hard, long grind, and I'm aware of it. But I think in the long run, it's going to be better for my mental health, because people leave negative comments no matter how good I looked back in the day or how good I look now. So it's better for me, for my mindset, to pivot to other things and to like not be as exposed in a way.
100%.
So,
and you are the biggest hustler I know. Like, work your fucking ass off, and you're going to succeed because of it. You put in the fucking time and the effort. So it's not going to go unnoticed. And your audience will follow you. Yep. Like, the people that love you will stay with you for years. Like, I have people commenting that are like, I used to watch you in 2009. I can't, like, I still love your content. And I'm like, I cannot believe you've been here for that long.
That's incredible.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen for you. It's like, the diehards will stay. Those are the important people.
It's the time that you put into it, and it's consistency.
Yeah.
Those YouTubes I watched since 2009, and they were like, where I'm at now. But right now, because they're expanded, they've been true to to their thing. Mm-hmm. They've overexpanded. They hired more people on their channel. And it's just like every day is new content. But it took them like 10 to 15 years to get to 1 million subscribers.
Right.
And to get like merchandise and stuff like that. So it's like, either you do it. The way I see most people do it, they get on there and they burn themselves out real quick because they want to try to do and get there and get monetized, blah, blah, blah. So they'll bend over backwards just to get content out. Do whatever it is. I'm going to rip off from this person. I'm going to do a mixed collage of other people's stuff on one channel just to get something. But it's like, you burn yourself out quick. Before you know it, it's not even fun content anymore. It's a job.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if you love what you're doing, it's not a job.
Yeah, 100%. And you know who makes it look effortless and who's been doing it forever is Smosh.
Yeah.
Smosh,
they're killing it.
Yes.
Their content is so funny. And I love every single person there. They're like, and they're sweet and they're cool. They're relatable.
I admired them and Nerdist because Nerdist was shot in such a professional way. Quality. No,
they have a great crew.
Through everything else that was on YouTube back then, I was like, this is awesome. That's what inspired me to do my show. I'm like, it is quality over quantity. It's like, make this look great. Put some like lights back here. Do some color corrections. Get real good mics. Get this blah, 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 blah. Make it look awesome. So when it is presented, it's like, huh, yes, look at that. Cherish it. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it takes me 2 weeks to make another one. But look at that one right there, right now.
Yeah. And then Ian and Anthony from Smosh, like they were OG YouTubers. Yes. They're like my era.
Yeah.
And so for them to like move on, but still sort of oversee this like new next generation, and the next generation's killing it. They're so good at what they do. Yes. And it's just like, really, I love seeing that. I was part of this network called SourceFed, and it was like, I was the next generation of SourceFed. So I was part of like that. It was like a new up and coming, like it was a different version. And like, I tried to start like sketch comedy there and it was really fun. I made some of the best work I've ever made there. But I think the corporatization of it killed it.
It ruined G4. It. G4 got way too corporate and it killed. And that was my thing. I'm like, it's a network for nerds. Awesome. Yeah. Corporate went under. Tanked. A lot of people I knew that worked on those shows are just like, now I'm working at this place. I'm working at this lot. I'm still looking for work. Kind of sad because it was like a huge empire.
I know. When I joined SourceFed, they had just been bought by Discovery Channel. And I do like Discovery. Like Discovery as a company is cool. You know, Shark Week is great. But, we're having to make ads for Shark Week and make funny content around Shark Week and Naked and Afraid and all these things, which was fun to do. But I was just like, man, it really sucks the fun out of the room. It's like corporate fun. It's mandatory fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. Mandatory fun. Is it that fun?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's not.
No. No.
It's not.
It's the difference between Saturday Night Live and Living Color.
Ooh.
If anybody remember Living Color back then.
Yeah.
Living Color was more like, I could do whatever I want because we're all having fun.
That's what Mad TV felt like too. Yeah. It was so weird. Mad TV was like SNL's weirder little brother.
SNL feels just like the older brother that's just corporate. And it's like, let's do it a certain way and bada bing. I think they loosened up a little bit. I mean, either that or the cast is just not that as funny. So they're just breaking the fourth wall all the time by laughing. Mm. But that's what I felt like. It was like, there's a stricter way to do things, comedy on Saturday Night Live. But Living Color and Mad TV was just like, let's just go off the rails. Hmm. See what happens.
Yeah.
We get canceled, we get canceled. You know?
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So then what content are you enjoying making now? Since you're saying YouTube is kind of, it's different now. You're a little burnt out on it. Like, where do you find your joy in creating content?
I don't know, because the problem is
you're like, oh.
I don't know. I like making TikTok videos, but I miss, this is so lame and this is going to like age me saying this. I miss making horizontal videos.
Oh, okay.
That is the one thing I miss about YouTube is like classic film content. Like, because I can't put my TikToks on YouTube. Like, I can't.
You can.
I can.
Shorts.
It's YouTube Shorts.
It's a little different.
It's different. Yeah. It's like Instagram Reels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I was so against. And now that's all I make because they, I have to.
Because photos don't perform well. They force you to take the photos and throw them in a reel anyways.
Like, and now they're saying they're going to make reels separate from Instagram. Yeah, and that's right. It's only going to be photos. And I'm like, why did you make us do this? This sucks. I hate this. Yeah. But because I'm a millennial and I'm an old school YouTuber, I will adapt. And I am the cockroach of the internet. You cannot kill me, honey. I'll be on the next one. I'll be first up on the next one. Brie Assrag. She's coming back.
She's making a comeback. Oh,
I'll never die. Born on the internet, died on the internet forever.
That's great, though. I mean, I think it's great. Like, I love it. So,
yeah, it's self-expression. Mm-hmm. So I don't love any platform at the moment, to be completely honest.
I feel that
the algorithm killed all the creative fun.
Mm-hmm.
If our own audience can't even see our posts, then what's the fucking point?
Yeah. Have you tried the trial reel feature yet?
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
It tanked. Everything tanks on there.
Yeah. I feel that. But I've heard rumors, hear me out, you should try to post a trial reel 3 times a day. And then that's when they start to prioritize you.
Stop.
Isn't that wild?
See, that's what they say about TikTok.
Who has
but
the time?
When I post on TikTok 3 times a day, I'm getting 100 views. I can't. And then I'm annoying my friends. And I'm like, you probably shouldn't follow me on TikTok, to be honest. No. But
I think your TikToks are funny. I watch them.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm there.
I like making them. It's fun. You know, it's what's a stupid lip sync video every now and then? Right. What's a little viral dance moment?
Yeah.
What's an AI filter? You know? That's easy. It's fun.
It's not that deep. It's just, I like to see TikTok as my complaint box. So I'll just go there anytime I have like a mild inconvenience. And one of them I did was about Instacart and how all of a sudden Instacart is terrible now and they will like not even bring you the groceries you ask for.
Yeah.
And so I just made a TikTok about it. And sure, there's people that are like, you're so entitled. Like, not everyone can even afford Instacart. I'm like, I know, I get it. Like, I understand that it is a privilege, but like, don't substitute a bag of carrots for a bag of chips. They are not the same, you know?
Like, I hate that take though on Instacart. Like, there are people with disabilities who cannot go to the grocery store. Like, you don't know what people are going through. People are like single parents that can't leave their child. Like, you don't know. So shut the fuck up.
I had a skin flare up. So I was like, I don't want to go out in public when my lips are swollen.
Valid.
Sorry.
Valid.
So, yeah, I felt, you know, whatever. There's always going to be comments like that. Always somebody who like checks you on your privilege or is like, oh, coming from a person who lives in a home. Like, there's always going to be someone who says something like that. But the thing is their comment on TikTok really helps it perform better. Like, yeah, I know we all say, even on Instagram and on YouTube, your hate comment helps. But TikTok, it like pushes that video higher into the algorithm. So
that's why people love rage bait.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started on rage bait.
I just give them a thumbs up and a heart. That's what I do.
Me too. I always leave, I leave a comment on everything. I'm like, such a, I know I seem like I'd be such a hater at heart, but I'm actually such a lover. I love to like spread that positivity.
Yep.
Even if I don't get it back. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see my face this much either. Like, it's doing damage to me personally, but but we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, we got to eat. We got to eat somehow.
We
got to
fucking eat. And we got to, I mean, it's not a competition. There's room for all of us. We got to support each other.
On social media? Yeah. There's room for everybody.
Yes.
That was my problem with YouTube is it was so competitive. And I'm like, we could all be at the top. I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what me and Derek have been saying for the longest time. It's just like, we're all in this together. And it's all like, we're not like doing the same exact thing.
Right.
Everyone's content is differently, but it's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. And that is something I actually like about OnlyFans is like, even though the market is like very saturated, mm-hmm. it's like the more alike we are, the better we do individually. Like, especially if we're together and we look alike, mm-hmm. our content will do better because people have specific types, obviously.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. Because they have like a certain amount of like fun money that they like to use. And if they see somebody who's similar, has a great attitude, it's like, well, then they'll spend their fun money on both.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't ever take away. And ever. I even did a video talking about how there's no such thing as an original thought, but that should bring you comfort because it doesn't mean you have to reinvent the wheel.
100%.
It means that you can take something from your content and your content, put it in a blender, and then now it's your content because it's going to be different.
Yep.
The way you talk about it, the way you express it is going to be different than everybody else. So
I love doing viral lip syncs to like mashups from the 80s.
Oh, man.
Like things that are mashed, like an Imogen Heap mixed with Kate Bush or some shit. I'm just like, what is this? I love it. Nice. There was one that was like All-Star, Smash Mouth All-Star and Chapel Roan Pink Pony Club. And it went together perfectly. And I was like, this is what the internet was made for.
I like the Teen Spirit one. The Teen Spirit one with Rick Astley.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was like, there's no strangers to love.
Oh.
Burning all the rules. It was just so Nirvana. And then Rick Astley, I was like, I love that song anyways. Like,
you're right, though. It is really freeing because there is no originality anymore. But it's like, but you can be original with something old.
Yeah, it's you're always going to find a different way to explain it to people in your own words and like with your own experience.
Yeah.
So it technically weirdly is an original thought, but you borrowed it from someone else to come to your own conclusion.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, it's like music. It's like music. Marilyn Manson, perfect example. Sweet Dreams, Eurythmics, beautiful song.
I know.
He covered it. It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Do I like them both? Yes. Will I listen to one over the other? No, maybe. Listen to the original. But I just love how Marilyn Manson did his version. It's
I
his
know.
Version.
I hate that I like that version because he sucks as a person.
Yes.
But I do love that.
Horrible person in real life. I had the pleasure of meeting him and dealing with him once or twice on a tour. But yes, the music's great.
The music's running good.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? Like separating the art from the artist? Like when people say that, like, oh, this person, they're a bad person, but what they create is great. Like, do you agree with the separating the art from the artist vibe?
I feel conflicted about it because I think it depends on the... I think it depends on the artist. And I think it depends on how they have been canceled and like what they've done, like how horrible is their shit. Like, do I still sometimes listen to Grimes? Yeah, she's not the best.
She's not our favorite
But she didn't, you know, rape people and you know what I mean, like she's not a Woody Allen or like a Roman Polanski. She's not Chris Brown. She didn't beat the shit out of multiple people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
feel like there's layers and there's context. But I also feel like, I mean, maybe just don't promote those people. But if you want to privately enjoy that art, I don't think there's anything really wrong with
Michael Jackson.
I still,
yeah.
If Michael Jackson's on, I'll do a little, little shoulder,
a little
I also movement.
Weirdly feel like though with that, I think if like these big companies are going to keep grabbing at the same like Hollywood starlets to like promote their movies, and they do something controversial, I do think that for these big corporations, it's easy for them to pivot and grab a new person.
100%.
I'm like a big advocate for like unknowns or like no names to be making their way up in Hollywood. And I don't think we're seeing a lot of that. Like it's very rare. I think like the latest big star is the one who won the Oscar.
Mikey Madison.
Yes. Cause I've never heard of her, but like, I'm sure she's been around a little bit.
Oh yeah. She was a great ghost face.
Oh, well then maybe she's not like a new no name. I totally thought she was.
I mean, she's a young Hollywood. Like she's
25.
She's now getting the acclaim, but she was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
She was like burned with the flamethrower at the end.
She's behind like the Tom Holland and the Timothy Chalamet.
Okay.
And then Wolfhard Kid. He's like, she's like
she's
in that genre.
She's been around, but she's finally getting the acclaim that she maybe deserves.
I mean, look at Bryan Cranston. He's been around the game for like a long time
that's
acting.
That's a great example.
And he was like, he did a couple of voices in Power Rangers when the show came out in 94. He did a couple of voiceovers or characters. And then all of us, and then like a couple of commercials. And then Malcolm in the Middle came out, what, like 2000 something?
Late 90s.
And then he got his little start, like foot in the door, network, and then Breaking Bad.
And then
everything else after that. So it's, there's a song that I like from Dennis Leary called The Asshole Song. And he sings at the end of his stand-up comedy. It was like back in 92 or 93. And it was written by Louis C.K. Louis C.K. in 92, a comedian. In 92, that is famous now.
Oh, wow.
So, like people are in it for a very long time and don't get their, not everyone's like a George Clooney.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
or Brad Pitt that's been in it since when they were young, but there's some people get their late starts, you know.
But I also agree with you. It's like, I love Sydney Sweeney, but I don't need to see her in everything. Like,
she's
great. She's gorgeous. Love her.
Yeah.
But she really came up from like Euphoria, but I know she was in a couple things before that.
God, she was so good in Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was young too. She was like 16. Really, really sad storyline. But like, there are so many amazing talents from people that we will never see, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all the more reason to make content online.
Yeah.
Make your own shit. Be your own artist.
Mm-hmm.
And be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Or Brie aggressive.
Brie aggressive.
Even though you're so chill. So Brie, tell everybody where they can find you on social media so they can find more of your content and just... give you your flowers.
Well, obviously I'm on everything, as I said, because my TikToks get deleted a lot.
No,
I know. I can be a little inappropriate sometimes.
Never.
It's at Brie Views for You.
Ooh.
But it's Brie Esrig everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Not Asrag, unfortunately.
Darn.
But BREESSRIG.
You
just
know,
so you know.
You're so cringe.
You're so cringe.
I'm so wet.
Ooh. Speaking of cringe and wet, question mark, we're going to take this on over to Patreon. Ooh. If you don't know, our podcast is now finally monetized. Woo-hoo. So we're so happy and excited. Hell but yeah. We make like 2 cents per episode, but we got some time. We're gonna keep making episodes and doing things for you, but the best supporters are the ones on Patreon. So be sure to join us over on Patreon so you get to see exclusives of our guests that come on. We have a $5 tier where you get to see the interviews that we do over there, $10 tier where you get to ask them questions, and like no question is off the table. We talk about like only flapjacks, we talk about all the things. So ask us some spicy questions. And we have a $50 tier, which just basically means you're like really cute and you're like our best fan ever. And we'll have rewards for that later.
Yeah, but I'll show you a little bit of something for that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wait, why not? Put it all out there.
So be sure to come join us on our Patreon. It's Delulu Canoe Podcast, and we will see you over there. Thank you for joining us. Stay Delulu, because it is the Salulu. Bye, everybody.
Bye. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that.